Hi, and welcome to the Reiki from the Farm podcast, brought to you by me, Pam Allen LeBlanc from Hidden Brook Farm. I am a scientist, a businesswoman, and a licensed Reiki master teacher with the International Center for Reiki Training. Each week in this podcast, you'll be entertained as you learn about a wide variety of relevant Reiki topics, helping you become a more knowledgeable and effective Reiki practitioner. We caution you, though, this podcast may also dramatically improve your life, and we are so happy that you're here. On this week's podcast, I'm talking with Kathy Golden. Kathy is a licensed Reiki master teacher with the ICRT. She's also the owner of the Golden Reiki Center in Burbank, California, and also Minneapolis, Minnesota. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I am too, and I'm excited to talk to you about Reiki and heart attacks and just some of the things that can help people around that and some of the things that you discovered. So before we begin, I just want to let everyone know that in December, we have a level one and two, a licensed Yusui Holy Fire licensed level one and two class coming up. We also have animal communication, and that's the last time I'll be teaching that this year, obviously, but it's also not taught again until the summer. So if you'd like to check out animal communication, join us for that in December. And then I'm teaching on a weekend an animal Reiki level one and two class. So please join us if those speak to you. And of course, we have some classes coming up in January, and there's a link to our schedule in the podcast. Kathy, what do you have coming up?
I have a Reiki master class coming up in November 19, 2021, and then a Reiki 1 and 2 class early December. I don't have the dates in front of me.
That's okay.
Early December. And then start up again in January.
Wonderful. And we'll put a link to your website as well so people can check that out. You just reminded me. I'm like, oh yeah, I have an animal Reiki master class in December too, and I forgot about that. But so there's lots of things going on, and we'd love to have you join us if that speaks to you. So we're going to start today with an invocation, and then I can't wait to dig in with Kathy and just learn a little bit more about her experience with heart attack recently. I knew I needed to reach out and share this with everyone. So I'm just going to invite you to close your eyes and bring your hands into Gassho. And if you have Reiki symbols, go ahead and invite them to join you in whatever way you do. You might speak their names out loud or just imagine them. You might draw them in your hands or in the air around you. Just invite them to join you today. And we give thanks today for the light of Reiki, for all that it does for us, the everyday miracles that we get to experience. And we give thanks that we can all be here together today, sharing in a new and a different perspective, learning from Kathy's experience with heart attack. We've noticed that our hearts are being asked to expand in order to anchor more love to the planet as we enter into a beautiful era and age of enlightenment. We invite the expansion to be comfortable and effective. We are blessed to be of this lineage of light bringers, creating wellness on the earth today and anchoring ever more love to our beautiful planet and into our own daily lives. Ahomatakwe wasam. Namaste. and amen. So Kathy, tell me a little bit about, I remember when you had a heart attack and it was a bit of a shock, but tell me a little bit about that and what that was like for you.
I had a heart attack on July 1st of 2020, right in the middle of COVID. Perfect timing. And I'd had, if I can step back and just say a little bit about what led up to it, I can, and I can actually take it far back without telling a long story about it, but I was a busy person, constantly busy person, and busy to a fault. When my son was 9 years old, he's 30 now, I can't even believe it, but when he was 9 years old, his father and I separated, and I was the one who was doing everything, getting him to school, managing my business, room mom, team mom, band booster president, all of those things. And I didn't know what was driving it, but I just knew I couldn't stop. And I have years of that kind of constant productivity, constant need to achieve, constant perfectionism and that kind of thing. And fast forward to a couple of months before I had my heart attack, I remember sitting outside by myself, just feeling a little bit overwhelmed. And I heard this voice that I felt was Laurel. And the voice said to me, "You can't keep going like this." And I remember thinking, "Oh, I think I can't keep going like this." But I couldn't, I disconnect from it. I just would get up in the morning working and finish at the end of the day working. And I loved my job, so it didn't feel so much like it was overwhelming to me, but it was all consuming for sure. And it felt to be more of a something that I was driven to do versus called to do, even though there certainly was a calling in there with Reiki. And then, so I heard it, but I didn't do anything about it. That was the first thing. I remember Oprah Winfrey used to say, you can, sometimes you'll get a whisper. If you don't hear the whisper, then you get a tap on the shoulder. And if you don't get a tap on your shoulder, then you get a brick up the side of the head. And the heart attack for me was a brick upside of the head. And it was just some education around heart attacks with women. I had what was called a slow onset heart attack, experiencing symptoms on a Sunday, going to the doctor on a Wednesday, having symptoms through that whole period of time, and being diagnosed with an ulcer and sent home only 4 hours later to be calling 911. And even then, when the paramedics showed up, they said to me very clearly, "You're not having a heart attack." And I said, "How do you know I'm not having a heart attack?" And he said, "You're not short of breath. Your color is good. You're not in a substantial amount of pain." He gave me all these reasons. And he said, "But I'll hook you up and we'll check you out. And if you are, we'll get you to the hospital." So he checked me out, hooked me up to an EKG, and said, "Looks like you are having a heart attack." And I was having what's called a widowmaker. So I had two valves that were completely blocked.
Yeah.
So how I'm even walking around having this conversation with you all today is quite surprising. And then the second experience for me was when I was in the emergency room. And for just maybe 3 minutes, I was alone in the room getting prepared to go have stents put into my heart. And I again heard that voice. This time, I think it was, I don't know that it was Laurel, but it was a voice from the divine, truly. And the words were, "Listen, we know this isn't the direction you were going. We need you to take a sharp left now because there's a lot of healing to be done and we need you well."
Wow.
And I heard it, still brings tears. Yeah. I heard it and I said, "I got it." So I didn't get the first one, but I got this one. And that was really the beginning of the discovery of recovering from a life of intense productivity and having to achieve and constantly being busy. So that was the beginning of that.
You talk about Laurel and the busyness, Kathy, and I mentioned to you that I was talking with Carolyn Musial, and as I also tend to be quite busy and have a lot on the go. And she said, do I have to talk to you about your schedule, about your calendar? And I said, yes, you do. I need somebody to give me a talking to. And and she shared with me that before our dear Laurel Gaia, one of our licensed teachers who we've lost, but before she had a stroke, Carolyn shared that she told her she was worried about her. And Laurel said, why? I'm doing what I love. Mm-hmm. And she said, but you are so busy. Do you think you should slow down? And she went on and had a stroke, and she did recover from that, but she had another stroke afterward. And for some reason, I've had people tell me to slow down all my life. And that typical, I always wondered if there was a type A plus personality, because I know there's type A, but is there type A plus? Because sign me up. And Reiki really helped manage that a lot. But yes. At the same point, when I'm so passionate about Reiki that I was really doing too much. And I knew that was a message both from Carolyn and from Laurel. And I thought, you know what? It really doesn't matter. All of these things that the book I'm trying to write and the podcast and all of these things that I'm trying to get done to help people won't matter a lick if I'm debilitated or if my health isn't here. And so for the first time, it really sunk in, and it really, it was a message that really took a hold. And I don't know about you, Kathy, but one of the things I noticed was I've always had a calling, and behind the calling, I had a feeling of urgency, like I had a lot to get done. And that sense of urgency left when that happened, with that conversation. What did you find? What happened to you? What did you notice?
The first thing I noticed is thankfully, it was in the middle of COVID, so my business was already slower than would have been otherwise. But I noticed that the world got really quiet for the first time. And I noticed that the progression of getting healthy was going to be slow and steady and not this urgent pace like you're referring to. I had to walk every day. And I had to start with 5 minutes, wow, just great. 5 minutes. And then 3 days later, then you do 10 minutes, then you get to 20 minutes. Now, I think with the work with Reiki, I was able to increase the rate at which I recovered, but not at that feverish pace. Right. Listen to your body, listen to how it's going. And there was a lot of discovery in that window too. We talk a lot in the Reiki Masterclass about our authentic self and our culturally created self. And I started to distinguish those things. You know, my authentic self is someone who wants to bring joy and to support people in discovering their life's purpose. My culturally created self discovered that I had collapsed self-worth with productivity. And the busier I was, the more worthy I was. Right. And so I could see that now over here versus something that was running me, like that urgent sense. And once I could push that aside, then I could feel my body for the first time and experience calm for the first time in a long time. And don't get me wrong, I am busy now, but I'm busy, like conscious busy,
right?
Thoughtful busy. And I can feel in my body when that old habit of urgency is taking over. I can feel it, and I just can stop and say, all right, here we're back on the hamster. Let's take a step to the left, which was my very specific guidance. We need you to go to the left. Okay, good. Redirect.
We're going to come back to this, but tell us a little bit more about the event itself and how that went. My husband had a heart attack 3 years ago, and I've been meaning to write an article or talk about it on here because I kind of joke and tell people it was the most relaxed heart attack in the history of heart attacks. We had just finished moving our two children into, they were sharing a house with another roommate in Moncton where they were both going to different schools, but they were both going to, one was going to university and one was going to college. And we had just finished moving them in. And of course it took much longer than you would expect. So it was about 1 a.m. as we were driving home and we were just getting, and earlier that day, my husband had said, "I don't feel well. I wonder if I should go to the hospital." And the children were just, we were taking them to get groceries because they didn't have a vehicle. And they were in the grocery store. And I said, "Well, we can go if you want." And he said, "Well, maybe it's just indigestion. You had mentioned the ulcer." He said, "I'll get something fizzy to drink and see if it feels better." So he got something fizzy. And I asked him and I told the kids when they got back with their groceries. And he said he was okay, but at 1 a.m. as we came close to our city, which is a couple of hours from where we were moving the kids, he said, "I think I'm going to swing into the hospital," like he's driving. And I said, "Okay, have you been feeling this way all along?" And he said, "Yeah, but I didn't want to say anything." So he parks the car, we go in, this was prior to COVID, so it wasn't as complicated as yours. And I want to hear about you. And they took him right in, they hooked him up to monitors and they were going, "You're not overweight, you don't smoke, you don't drink, shouldn't be a heart attack." But my husband is diabetic and has been since he was 7, and there's a lot of history of heart with his dad and stuff. So sure enough, it was a heart attack, but we just sat there going, you know what, this is a good thing. And we made some decisions right there. And then we said, we're going to make some lifestyle changes. Mm-hmm. And we said, we're going to take this as a bit of a wake up call. The two of our three were now in university and we were going to start doing more things for ourselves. And even when the blood work came back and it was positive for heart attack, that was probably the only tense moment. I actually messaged, I have a Reiki share group. And so here it was 1 a.m. and it was Labor Day weekend. Oh. And everybody, I don't know how come people were online and people said, "I'm never awake then, but I saw your message." And I just said, "Hey guys, could you send Reiki to Pierre?" So they did. So we were just calmly chatting and talking and just remarking about how amazing the doctors and nurses were. We could hear what they were dealing with in the emergency room that we were in. And we were just like, "Oh my goodness. I don't think people realize how much these doctors and nurses have to deal with." And we were amazed at it. And we were telling them we were going to go into TripAdvisor and give them 4 stars and for the care that we received. And in the meantime, then they realized, oh, he is having a heart attack. And so they just went at him with a clot buster and a bunch of medications that saved his life. Mm-hmm. And they said he was going to need to take an ambulance to another city about a little over an hour away where they had a heart specialty and a unit that a different hospital that could deal better with that. And so the ambulance driver agreed to let me join him. And we went down and stayed there for a couple of days because it was a long weekend. Trying to the people that he would deal with were having their long weekend and he had the clot buster, so it wasn't the people were just lovely. They'd make sure they'd sometimes bring me a sandwich or something. Yeah, and we were so fortunate. He got a stent. We came home. He had 5 days off or 5 weeks off. It just so happened that I didn't have any classes booked in that 5 weeks and I didn't have a really busy schedule and that never happens. So yeah. I was able to drive him to his appointments. He couldn't drive and that sort of thing. And we made some really great lifestyle changes, like we became pescatarian and a few things like that. So it actually wound up being an incredibly positive experience, but I really believe that was only because of Reiki. What, tell us a little bit about your experience, because I know that Reiki really, you say the particular type of heart attack you were having, you shouldn't be here today.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I know Reiki had a role in this.
Absolutely. Yeah, most certainly did. How it happened, which I think is what your question is, I woke up early on a Sunday morning and I was feeling, I wouldn't have described them as chest pains, but I was feeling a burning sensation right around the sternum area. And I was thinking that it's my gallbladder. Like somehow that's just what it felt like to me. Like I'd never had issues with gallbladder, but I thought if I am, I think it feels like this. And I had a couple of friends who had issues too. But I was in the middle of teaching a Reiki class because, you know, I like to be busy. And so I woke up my roommate and said, I think I'm having chest pains. She said, I looked a little gray and clammy. And I said, well, let me just, not unlike your husband, where he's like, let me have some fizzy water. I thought, well, let me just sit up for a little bit. And I started feeling better. And so I just taught class the rest of the day and it went fine. I had a little discomfort now. And then the next day, more discomfort, but again, it would come and go. Wasn't a constant thing, but when it happened, it was pretty intense. Mm-hmm. And so I called to get into the doctor. Now we're in the middle of COVID. There was limited availability, but the woman I talked to had an issue with her gallbladder before. And she said, oh, I know how much that hurts. So I'm going to get you right in. Otherwise they weren't going to get me in.
Right.
So I went in to the doctor and my blood pressure was high, but and it's not normally high, but my blood pressure was high. And they said, we're having problems with this cuff.
Oh.
And so they dismissed that. And then they did an ultrasound of my gallbladder, which was fine.
Okay.
And he said, I don't think it's cardiac. And I said, well, I don't think it's cardiac either, because I didn't want it to be cardiac.
Right.
So I wasn't a good advocate for myself there. And I also didn't know the statistics, which are that 65% of women are misdiagnosed. Heart disease is misdiagnosed. Heart attacks are misdiagnosed and caused or diagnosed as something gastrointestinal. He said, I think it's an ulcer. Here's a prescription for Maalox and something else and go home. So I was happy. It wasn't cardiac. Had a Reiki share that night. So I was on Zoom doing the Reiki share, finished the Reiki share, and then thought, I don't feel well. And then that burning sensation started happening again, only it was very intense. And now I know my gallbladder, because that was ruled out.
Right.
If I hadn't have gone to the doctor, I think I would have tried to ride it out again. But because I knew it wasn't my gallbladder, I thought I'm having a heart attack.
Yeah.
So laughing at myself again. So I'm on the phone calling 911, packing a bag. I'm going to need my computer. I'm going to need my, I look at it now and I think, oh my God, what were you doing? But that's who I was being. And
right.
That's how we got into that mess in the first place. So, yeah. And then I shared about how when the paramedics showed up, and also really a beautiful experience at the hospital. The paramedics were nice enough to stay until they could tell I was out of the woods. And then they came in to say that they were glad I was in good hands. And I felt really cared for. And getting back to the Reiki context of it, I was never afraid I was going to die. I knew I wasn't. I just knew I wasn't.
You weren't afraid of fear either.
Yeah, it was unusual. And normally in that setting, I would be terrified, but
right.
I wasn't. And even going in to have the stents put in, I have this little tiny scar on my wrist. That's where they went in to put the stents in, is right. Through my wrist. Isn't that amazing that they can do that?
It's incredible.
It is. It's
me. Yes.
Yeah. So my experience was great. And then because of COVID, I was in a huge two-person room that was just me with these windows looking over the ocean in Ventura County. And
really,
and honestly, yeah, and I couldn't have visitors. I just rested. I rested. And that is a huge thing that's come out of this is rest. I would be a 5 to 6 hour night sleeper and up ready to go in the morning and loving what I'm doing. When you said that's what Laurel said, she loved what she was doing. I loved what I was doing and I thought that would carry the day. But there was work that needed to get done. And if we look at it from a Reiki standpoint, if you have issues with your having a difficult time giving and receiving love mm-hmm. evenly, discovered that for myself too. A lot of working to take care of other people, not so much work taking care of myself.
Always receiving with women, isn't it? It's mm-hmm. and well, with so many, with myself and with so many of my students, it can be so difficult to receive, to ask yes. for help and to receive. And I don't know why that is.
I think it's DNA. I think it's ancestral, to be honest. If I could share one more story.
Please.
I had a experience with my son that shifted this for me recently. And people, if you're like me, you love giving to other people, but I love giving gifts to other people. Like I like putting a lot of thought into them. I like to be something special. But I also wasn't very good at receiving that. Uh-huh. And my son and people around me would struggle in giving me things because I would say, no, don't. And I just was not available for it, resistant to it. And my birthday one year after I'd become a Reiki practitioner, and I thought of this after the heart attack, so it made a difference. But my son went to a crystal store in Burbank. Now, he didn't know anything about crystals and I didn't know anything about crystals. He just knew that was going to be something that would be really cool. So he got this beautiful raw amethyst and gave it to me for my birthday. It was gorgeous. And I remember looking up at him and seeing his face and how excited he was to give this to me. And I got all emotional and I thought to myself, why do I rob people of that joy?
Yeah.
Why do I rob them of that joy? When I give to people, I love the expression on their face when they see. And that I could see that again from a different point of view after I'd had my heart attack. And I thought, oh, that is an exquisite connection that we don't want to rob people of. And I think that can be at the beginning of opening ourselves up to receiving as much as we give.
Oh my gosh. I love that, Kathy. And it makes me think that Reiki, as Reiki was opening me up to receive, I remember I couldn't even take a compliment. If somebody complimented me, I would downplay it. I would say something disparaging about myself. And the Reiki energy one day said, you realize that you're not honoring, like that you're not honoring what they're doing when you mm-hmm. do that. And you need to learn to listen to the compliment, understand it for its heartfelt intent, and say thank you mm-hmm. and appreciate it. You really need, and I couldn't even do that. And just like you, I noticed that when I stopped, and the Reiki energy said, furthermore, like when you're disagreeing with the compliment, you're saying that their opinion doesn't matter. And why would you do that? And now when somebody has something nice to say, I really listen and I love it. But there are so many instances like that where we don't allow people to give. And I remember Reiki energy even showing me what a gift it is. Like giving feels so amazing. What a gift it is when people will receive and provide that opportunity for others to give. And it showed, like, even when I have an opportunity to give to a homeless person or an opportunity to give to a charity or an organization, what a gift it is that those even exist so that we can experience the wonderful feeling of giving. And I realized how important it is to receive and offer other people that opportunity to give, because it feels so amazing. There's nothing that can change your how you feel. Like if you're feeling a little low, give something away and to somebody. And when they appreciate it, it just feels amazing. I love that story. Mm-hmm. Tell us more
about it. It's good for your heart.
It's good for your heart. Absolutely. Open your heart and receive. I agree. Tell us more about, you learned a lot from this experience, and you've said that Reiki made it less intense than it would have been. What are some of the things you talked about, the fact that 65% of women, the heart attacks are misdiagnosed. What are some things that women should look for?
Don't discount if you're feeling any sort of burning sensation. So we think, what's publicized is left arm pain, stabbing pain here, which is more common for men if they're having a massive heart attack, although Pierre didn't at all.
Pierre had, and in fact, that was a comment. So I say, what should women look for? What should everyone look for? Because Pierre's presented more. And in fact, they said, oh, it didn't present like a man's heart attack often does. So yeah. So what should people look for, I guess?
Well, I think the initial thing is when you feel funny, when you feel off, when you just feel off, don't discount that. Don't discount. That's the first thing. And I think, and I know for women, that burning sensation, jaw pain, or pain that's radiating into your back. So because of COVID, I was having shoulder pain because everybody was at their computers all day long. Right. So I would assume that it was from that. It was actually correlated to the chest pain I was having. But the main thing is when you go into the doctor, demand an EKG, demand that the cardiac side of things is ruled out.
Right.
And I've had a handful of people, because I shared this widely on Facebook and with my friends, say that they demanded an EKG. Now, most of them, it turned out fine, but there were a couple people that it was heart-related, and they were able to be proactive versus waiting for the heart attack.
Yeah,
be proactive. That's the main thing. Don't discount. Trust that inner knowing, especially if it's a burning sensation. Get it checked out and demand. Be a good advocate for your care.
For yourself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some of the changes. What are some of the things that we call this episode Heart Attack Recovery and Discovery. What are some of the things you discovered, Kathy, as you were recovering from the heart attack?
I discovered I like to be rested.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big thing. I discovered I enjoy moving my body. So I like to be a morning person. I like to have a window of time in the morning that's devoted just for me. And usually I'd be up and out the door initially, but there's a whole meditative part of the morning where I'm not quick to get up. Unless I really have to, every day I sleep till I wake up.
Nice.
I sleep until I wake up. And that's the way you find your normal rhythm for you. I was always a late nighter. Honestly, sleep was an interruption for me. there was no real joy in sleep for me. And some people would love naps, and I'd be like, oh God, groggy afterwards. I can't be productive. But sleep became this really beautiful thing, like a gentle and kind way of taking care of myself. And so being rested allows me to be calmer, more clear channel for other people's healing too. Yeah. So resting, walking, taking my time, noticing when I'm getting on the hamster wheel like I did before. And really discovering when you are, what words am I looking for? When I discovered that my self-worth was collapsed with busyness, that those two things were collapsed, it just really has you step back and go, wow, you can look at your whole life and how you've been running on that hamster wheel the whole time. And you just miss the joy. I was missing the joy of doing what I was doing. I loved doing Reiki, being in the LRMT program, teaching, building my business, and all of that. I loved doing it. A lot of satisfaction in it. There wasn't a free-flowing joy inside of it where you could deeply hear the guidance, where the you can allow the universe to be manifesting on your behalf. It's just like miracle after miracle of things that are happening. Yeah, it's extraordinary.
It is. And I think it's so important to slow down and notice it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I take a Reiki walk with the dogs every morning. I know what you mean. I need that. I write in my journal. I do Reiki. I need that meditative time in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then I take them for another walk at the end of my day. And that just signals the beginning and end. And I do have a very mm-hmm. high energy dog that requires that. It's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
So I love it. What are some other things that you want to leave people with today, Kathy, and any other advice that you have for folks?
I think I want to add just the power of Reiki inside of all this again, just footnote that a little bit more. Through the whole process of physically recovering, emotionally recovering, and spiritually expanding, it has been a direct partnership with Reiki all the time. What I used to see as roadblocks or breakdowns in front of me now become more of a redirection, where like a bumper car almost, where I bump into it and instead of be like, oh gosh, why is that in my way? It's just boom. Oh, I'm going this way now. Boom. Oh, no, I'm going this way. Oh, now I'm going this way. So there isn't that worry about the other shoe that's going to drop, the next crisis that's going to come. It's really just about, now we want you to go this way. Mm-hmm. So it's that pure connection with Reiki Source, I think, that just says, it's okay. Now just go a little this way. Now go a little that way. So if you use the tools that we have as Reiki practitioners and Reiki teachers, this whole process can be a gift as opposed to a problem or a breakdown.
I agree. Do you have any advice for people who have clients who have had heart attacks, or even people who've lost people due to heart attacks? Is there anything that you would say to them?
People who have lost people to heart attacks, there isn't anything that you could have done
mm-hmm.
because whoever had the heart attack was going at a pace and literally were not receiving the messages or couldn't hear the messages that they were receiving. So it was their choice to live the life that they lived. And so if you're thinking, oh my gosh, I should have said more, I could have done more, I don't know if that's true. That's the first thing. And then what was the other question?
Other question is, if somebody has clients who have heart issues or who are recovering from heart attack, is there anything, mm-hmm. any advice that you would give them?
Yeah. Right. Stop and listen. Be kind to yourself, be kind to your body, and give and receive love. Mm-hmm. And that's the main thing. Where are you? That's actually what I do say to my clients that have heart issues. Where are you? Where is there an imbalance between giving and receiving? And where are you not listening to kind words for yourself? Where are you not listening to? We're horrible. Some of the things we say to ourselves, we would never say to our friends, to our children, to other people.
I say that inner voice. And I noticed that Reiki with a lot of my clients and even with myself mm-hmm. had an intervention with the inner critic. And it was funny because for me, I see a lot of pictures in order to understand things. And I saw a picture of her being sat at a desk and saying, we're making a change of direction. That nastiness and that mean tone and those extremely high expectations, they no longer belong. From now on, we would like you to use the light of compassion when you talk with the inner voice. And if you can't go along with the change of direction, it's okay. We'll replace you. You'll have three chances at this. And we don't want to see you here again.
Exactly.
And it's incredible, though, because you're right. That inner voice can be so demanding and so negative. And when you think of it, you would never say those sorts of things to friends that you.
Your child, you never, ever would. Yeah, I think it was in a class with Karen Harrison, one of the senior licensed Reiki master teachers. I think it was. But when I tell my students when they're doing a self-Reiki treatment, which highly recommend do self-Reiki every single day, as often as you can every single day. But when you discover a blocked area, and this is something I do regularly now since my heart attack, you're doing a Bösen scan and you find a blocked area, put your hands there and say, what happened? And how can I help you heal? And then go to the next spot. Oh my gosh, what happened? And how can I help you heal? So you're creating a different relationship between you and your body, where it's not you and then your body, but like you're parenting it almost in a way to really support its healing. Where does fear live in your body? Here. Okay, what happened? How can I help you heal?
I love that. It sounds like an integration, like you're integrating. And oh my gosh, beautiful ideas, Kathy. Thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to leave people with before we move into meditation today?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. I'm so happy that
thank you, Pam.
You had such a successful recovery. You look amazing. I know, like you're glowing again. And I remember during the recovery phase that you were still figuring it out and you'd show up to meetings, but you were a bit pale and we were all worried about you. Let us know how you were doing. And Reiki seems to have had your back. So
absolutely. I say the older I get, the younger I feel now. I just turned 61 in September. So I feel like I literally am getting younger the older I get. So
you look
it's
younger.
All Reiki.
You look younger. When I met you, that's amazing. Keep up the good work, Kathy. You're doing great. And I love the idea of the scan. In fact, I think we'll use it in our meditation today. So guys, we are moving into our meditation. Anybody who might be driving as you're listening to this, please pull over or hit pause. And just because we care about you and we don't want you injured. These meditations can sometimes go deep. So I'm just going to invite you to close your eyes, take some deep breaths, and place your hands on your heart or somewhere else that you feel you may need Reiki today. And just feel the love of Reiki anchor into your heart. Imagine that a beautiful beam of divine love is flowing through your hands, through your crown, through your hands, and into your body and into your heart. And it is awakening in you the balance between giving and receiving. I invite you to think of any areas in your life where you may have difficulty giving or receiving, where there may be an imbalance. And in addition to the light of Reiki and the light of divine love, we invite the light of balance to move through us today, and the light of balance to open our channels to give and receive and to bring the balance into that for us. And we're going to spend several moments here today as you open your heart and receive the gift of divine love in the light of balance. And if there are any injuries to your heart, if your heart has ever been broken or damaged or harmed in any way, if there is any need for repairs to the physical health of your heart, if your feelings have ever been hurt, if your heart has ever been harmed, we release those into the light now with love so that your heart may be healthy and whole, and your ability to balance giving and receiving brought into complete balance today. If you're holding any unhealthy emotions or thoughts that would injure your heart today, your ability to love deeply and truly, we invite the light of forgiveness to flow through and release them for you with love. And as we invite the light of forgiveness, we're not necessarily saying we condone the actions of others who have harmed us. We are saying simply that we're not willing to allow those injuries and those actions to hold us hostage. And so allow the light of forgiveness to flow through it all. And sometimes the person we have the most difficulty forgiving is ourselves. And we invite the light of forgiveness to flow through us now as well. And just feel the expansion happening within your healed heart. And I'm guided to bring us into the heartbeat of the earth meditation. As your hands remain on your heart, feel the Reiki flowing through your hands and into your heart today. In the light of Reiki, the light of the earth and the light of divine beings and the light of creation surrounds you and fills your breath. And as you breathe in the light, it travels in on your breath. It fills your body with light, and the light within you wakes up and is revealed in you. You remember your love, your higher consciousness, and your pure heart. You can see it now. and the light of the earth is revealed in you as you remember that your body is made of the earth to give your spirit life and breath. And the light of the divine is revealed in you as you remember that your spirit is made of the light and that you are here in your life to be human, to enjoy life each and every day. And the light of creation and the light of your body are one light within you now. Your divine nature is present in your human nature, and you remember your beautiful spirit, your life force. It is here in your body and in your life in this moment in time. Listen now to the heartbeat of the earth and the heartbeat of the waters and of all life in the waters. You can hear the heartbeat of the animals and the trees and the birds in the trees. You can hear the heartbeat of creation in the four winds, in the cycles and rhythm of the moon and the sun, and the rhythm of the stars in the night sky, the planets and our solar system, and in the heartbeat of the Milky Way, the galaxies, and the universe. The heartbeat of creation, and it all beats in the same rhythm as your own blessed heart. Your body aligns now with the heartbeat and the rhythms and the cycles of the earth and the heartbeat and the rhythm and cycles of creation. Perfect balance of giving and receiving. One heartbeat, one light, one breath, right now in this moment in time and in your daily life. The power of love at the core of the physical world, the light of pure consciousness becoming all things. You bring this awareness now into your body that you are like all life on earth, part of the animal kingdom. And that everything lives in the rhythms and the cycles of this beautiful creation, the earth. Bring your awareness to your body now and listen. Hear your heart beating in your body, in your life today, and breathe into this moment. Whenever you're ready, I welcome you to come back, bringing your awareness to your heartbeat, which is like the heartbeat of the animals, the earth, and all life here on earth. Ahomatakweoasan. Namaste and amen.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Kathy, I want to thank you so much for being here with us today and sharing your story. And I want to thank the listeners for having the courage to go in and release any injuries or heartbreak that might exist on your own heart. Thank you so much for joining us today. And I invite you, or we invite you, to listen to your body and listen to your heart and keep yourself safe. Namaste.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you.